was the rough share like? I mean, what was his relationship with the Tommy then, and what was his there after leaving?
What was his relationship with the Talmidim? The feud was very snappy. In the early years when he was healthy, he used to be very snappy. He fulfilled the position of that time. Zrok Marab Talmid. He used to scream at the students whenever there's anything wrong. He used to snap at them. He used to scream at them. He used to insult them. That's the way his father taught him. That's the way he is with the trip. I remember once he said a whole shiur. So he asked the kasha, we were scared to ask anything. He asked the kasha at the end. So he screamed at me in Yiddish that, in the early years the shiur was always in Yiddish, till he realized there was one student who didn't understand Yiddish, so the next day the shiur switched to English. But the shiur always used to be in Yiddish. And then once I asked the kasha, so he screamed at me in Yiddish, you should live so long like you understand pshat and tesis. So he used to scream like that. Cursed, you know. So yes, after that, he asked Aaron Lichtenstein, what did I say that was wrong? He doesn't know. He thought it was also good kasha, he doesn't know. It used to be very, when someone would mispronounce a word in Gemara, he would snap. He always called on the students to read. He had to pronounce the words correctly. Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos, had to read it right. He would say, okay, read the Tosfos, V'yeshleima. What V'yeshleima? 20 lines into the Tosfos says V'yeshleima. Read the Tosfos, V'yeshleima, V'yeshleima. No one knew where is he. He used to be very snappy in the Shia. His relationship in the Shia, when you'd be walking in the street, he would be the most pleasant person. But in the middle of the shiur, he was very tough on the students. The style of the shiur is hard to describe. He would always go min hakala lakol. He'd always start off, what does it say in Chumash? What does it say in the Mishnah? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? How does Rabbi Yehuda understand the pasuk? How does Rabbi Meir understand the pasuk? I remember a lot of times when he would say a pasuk with the proper inflection, I would say, oh, that's what it means. He would just say the pasuk. I would say to myself, I never realized that's the way you're supposed to read that pasuk. I never realized that's what it says. A lot of times he would show poshim shat. He would show poshim shat in the Gemara, poshim shat. We never realized poshim shat. The most complicated thing he would make simple. That was his kach. He would give a shir. Sometimes he would give shiur for 4 hours straight, 6 hours straight. Everyone would sit glued to their seats. He was a tremendous speaker. He explained everything very well. He used to give, every year he had a yortzeit, he had yortzeit for his father on Gimel Shvat. Every year he gave, for many, many years, he gave a yortzeit shiur. Yortzeit drush, it was known. He used to give a 4 hour shiur, 2 hours halacha and 2 hours drush. With a minute pause in between, he would take a drink of water in between. Give a shiur for 4 hours. So on one occasion, he was a very good speaker. He explained everything very well. Everyone would sit glued to their seats and listen in the middle of the night, till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and everybody would sit and listen. So on one occasion, someone jumped up after he finished the drosha, which was in Yiddish, and he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, did anybody ever tell you that you're a very good actor? So he said, without batting an eyelash, drama is an integral part of communication. He was a natural actor. Like Rabbi Lau, they tell the story, Chief Rabbi Lau, when he was a Talmud in Yeshiva called Torah, so they say that he asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who is the Rosh Yeshiva, that he's considering leaving the Yeshiva to go to acting school, because he felt that he had talents in acting. So they say Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, well, you have to leave the Yeshiva, stay in the Yeshiva, get smicha, and use your acting talents in the rabbinate. So that's what he did. He's a gewaltig actor, natural actor. When he speaks, everybody understands. He just spoke in New York recently. When he speaks, everybody understands. He's a tremendous dramatist. Rav Soloveitchik took the most complicated thing and he made it simple. And after you'd hear the shiur, you would kick yourself. Why didn't we realize that? That was the Pashup Shat all along. There was no kasha in the first place. The Yortzat shiur was a whole, it was all built up. He would always start the Yortzat shiur to say a Gemara. Anybody ask 4 or 5 kashas that you thought it's impossible to answer. No one can answer these kashas. He would word the kashas in such a way, you would think it's impossible to answer the kashas. Then he would say, well, there's another Gemara. He would say a Gemara. You see this, you say the Gemara, and all the kashas melted away by themselves. Cannot, you just misunderstood the original did. So he was an expert. And the shiur in the yeshiva, the daily shiur, was daily. He used to give the shiur 2 days a week. He used to give the shiur only in my time. He only gave on Tuesday and Wednesday. I remember when I first entered the shiur, the yeshiva was learning Sanhedrin. And all yeshiva began, whatever, Labor Day, whatever it was. And I'll put up the sign, Rabbi Soloveitchik will not begin shiur until the third week. And everyone should please prepare through Davov in Sanhedrin. So I thought to myself, why is he different from everybody else? Everybody else starts different. Why does he wait till the third week? So I understood why. When he came, I was at the same time, I was in another shiur, and they told me I should attend Rabbi Soloveitchik, the birth of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Soloveitchik came in the third week, and the first shiur he already covered more than the other shiur covered. He spoke very quickly also. Very quickly. One of the Rabbanim visited from Eretz Yisrael, one of the sons of Rabbi Ari Levine visited Y.U. and he heard him give a shiur. Came back there and said, Umaviv shiur kimoto tach, like a machine gun. Boom, boom, boom. He used to speak so quickly. He didn't repeat himself. When he switched to English, then had to repeat himself a lot because he didn't know English well. Till after a couple of years, he already knew, learned how to speak English well. Then he could speak English like a machine gun. He used to speak very quickly. He used to go very quickly, he used to speak very quickly. And he took the most complicated thing and he explained. And the whole idea of learning was to make everything simple. He would always start off with definitions. Let's say we started Gittin. So he says, what's the definition of a shtar? What do you mean, what's the definition of a shtar? A shtar? A shtar? No! When you go to university, you have to start the definition. What's the definition of a shtar? You didn't know what you're supposed to say. Show the machlokes, the goyim, the shachin, the choshimish, has a machlokes, what's the definition of shtar? Well, an eye-opener. He was giving definitions. Then he would show us that the machlokes hatanoim is a machlokes, what the definition is. You have to know, menakal al akabit. You give definitions. Machlokes, how do you read a word in the pasuk? Machlokes, how do you have, what's the definition of the din? He always showed the most poshut of pshat. A lot of times he would throw out a question to the students he wasn't interested. He didn't think too highly of any of us. He thought we were stupid. So he threw out a question, and the students thought we were supposed to give an answer, so a student would give a suggestion. So he would be upset. He'd say, why are you going like this? What's the direct answer? So he would make fun of us. Make fun of us by telling, tell a story, a Chassidish story, that the Chassidish Rebbe was saying Torah by Shabbos Shulis and Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha. So he discussed how come Lech Lecha is written with two big ches. Lech Lecha is written with two big ches. So there was a misnagid there in the audience, and he said, Anshulik, excuse me, Reb, Lech Lecha is written with ches. And the regular letters, it's not larger than the rest of the letters. So the Rebbe said, that's one teretz, I have a better teretz. So he said, that's like over here. What are you draying a cup? You're giving home. What's the push? The push at the pshat is the correct shot. Whenever you have two answers to a kasha, the one that's most direct is the correct answer. I remember I took Professor Soloveitchik to chemistry. That was Rav Soloveitchik's brother, Shmuel Soloveitchik. He's also a very learned person. He's a very nervous person. So he's teaching us. He taught chemistry. That year taught chemistry for the non-chemistry majors. I was not a chemistry major. So I was a math major originally. So he used to teach the history of chemistry, the history of science, a lot of the history. So he was explaining to us that in the world of science, a lot of times when you're trying to explain a certain phenomenon, so you can give a whole fancy mahalach, and you can give a very simple mahalach, like a learning. You can give a fancy mahalach, and you can give a very simple. So derech klal, 99% of the time, the interpretation that's most direct is the correct one. The one that's all complicated usually not correct. So he told us at that time they started to send Sputniks and spaceships all over. So he said, now that they have spaceships, so they know that the sun doesn't go around the earth, the earth goes around the sun. But he said, truth of the matter is, you can still faremfer. You can still say that the sun goes around the earth, and you can work out a long formula, but the formula will be so drawn out and complicated. And to assume that the earth goes around the sun is much more simple, so that's why the scientific world has accepted that the earth goes around the sun. Because if you have two mahalchim to explain a certain phenomenon, one is very, very complicated, and one is very clear cut, very simple, so usually The one that's simple is the correct one. That's the Rav Soloveitchik comes used to make fun of this dude. He's giving such a complicated pshat on the Rambam, the Gemara. Give a simple pshat. That was his madrega. Everything was the most simple pshat. You know, he does this. A lot of times they're shverer Rambams. Rambam's Rambam doesn't correspond to the Gemara. So the Lechem Mishnah stands on his head, tries to explain the Gemara. Tells his kasha, blah, blah, blah. The Rambam taught this, the Rambam taught that. And there's a Sefer Merkevus on Mishnah, the Rambam, he often gives the most bland answer, the most pashup shot. The Rambam didn't say that. Read the words of the Rambam, he said different. So every so often Rav Soloveitchik would say that the pshat of Merkevus on Mishnah is correct. A few times he's heard from his grandfather Abchaim that this Merkevus on Mishnah is correct. That one's correct. A lot of times he gives pashup shot in the Rambam, the most pashup shot in the Rambam. That was the key to his. He didn't clear Chakiris. He never, this is a new style. People claim that he picked it up from Rav Soloveitchik. It's true. They picked it up from Rav Soloveitchik when he was an old, sick man. He wasn't able to prepare shir because he couldn't even read. He used to have someone read the Gemara for him. He couldn't prepare for the shir. So, and he didn't remember anything. In the last years, when he came to shir, he didn't remember. So they would be reading a din, so he would start to wonder, what's the nature of the din? Is it this? Is it that? He was weak and feeble at that time. So people remember that, so they think that's Rav Soloveitchik's style of Mishir. That wasn't. When he was healthy, that wasn't his style of Mishir. Everything was worked out in advance. There were no Chakiris. Rashi learns like this, and Tosfos learns like that, and the Rambam learns like this. He didn't clear Chakiris. Sometimes in presentation, after, like he said, his grandfather, in presenting it, so he had already worked it out in his mind. Presenting it, sometimes he would present it as a kid. But that wasn't his style of learning. It's hard to define, it's hard to describe. People keep on printing more essays in English and Hebrew about the brisket derech. Each person, everyone makes up, postulates an assumption. The brisket derech is the correct derech, and I have the brisket derech. So they write their own derech. All of these descriptions don't, everything that they printed does not correspond, living and dead, to Rav Soloveitchik's style. And maybe it wasn't Briska there. Maybe it wasn't the Briska there. It was his there. The Ika was that his shiur was not complicated. Shiur was very easy. But the main thing would be, he would explain one Gemara, not with svaris, with philosophy. Explaining Gemara by showing you another Gemara. You see over there, you cited that Gemara. So that shows that the pshat in this Gemara is like this. He had a certain degree of bekiyas. He didn't have a dripping bekiyas. He used to say the shir, and he used to say, so Gemara in the Dorim. He didn't remember where. So he said, Velech Adaf Arad. Rav Aaron Lichtus, and he used to sit next to him. He'd say, Daf Yud Gimel Amad Beis. Daf Samach Gimel Amad Beis. He would always drip, you know, with the bekiyas. So they just didn't remember. He didn't remember whether it was Amad Aleph or Amad Beis. Rav, he remembered which topic appears before which topic. And I remember things. I remember, oh, it's a big fat Tosfos here, a skinny little Tosfos over there. You know, Ahmed Aleph, he didn't remember Ahmed Aleph, Ahmed Beis. He didn't remember what the page looked like. He would see what the topic is. So he says, no, it's after that. No, it's before that. Somewhere in between these two. He remember the order of the Masechta. He remember halachas. He would explain halacha here by showing this halacha in other Gemara. The other Gemara sheds light on the whole Torah. Call that Torah Kulam Yerech. The whole Torah has to fit in to make miksha achat, has to be one big system. All the halachas are integrated together. He wouldn't take one din and philosophize to death and analyze it to death. He would take all the dinim and try to find a pattern. Try to discern the pattern of the halacha. You can't say like this because the halacha over there is like that. So he would give a definition, he'd give a description, try to give definitions of the kind. Try to give a formula. He said, when we're learning Gemara, it's like the scientist who's trying to develop a formula to explain all of the scientific data. You have certain information, and what's the formula that makes everything function? So you got to develop a formula. He once said that somebody from the Jewish Theological Seminary, that's the conservative seminary in New York City, published a book, and he writes in the book that the rabbis were lenient in Hilchas Sukkah, love wood, and this and that and the other thing, because there was a scarcity of wood in Eretz Yisrael, days of the time, right? They couldn't afford to build the sukkah with so much wood. That's why they came up with all the kulos. So he said he doesn't think that that itself is a statement about the kulos. Maybe there was a scarcity of wood. But he said, Amosha Lamad Avadema, he said, the American government knew that the Germans were working on developing atomic energy. And they were afraid that the German scientists would develop an atom bomb and they'll control the world. So they paid Einstein and a bunch of geniuses to figure out the secret to atomic energy. So therefore, they were able to make an atom bomb. So you wonder, how does the atom bomb work? I'll tell you how it works. It was a big Shas Hadchak. The Nazis wanted to conquer the whole world. So because of the Shas Hadchak, so they made an atom bomb. That doesn't explain how it works. That's what motivated the government to pay Einstein to develop a formula. But what bottom line, what's the formula? Forget about what motivated him to pay. What is the formula? So you have to have a formula. So he said, it could well be that there wasn't Shas Hadchak in the days of the time. They didn't have enough wood. But just because it's a Shas Hadchak doesn't mean that it's going to work. You have a Shas Hadchak, the bomb is not going to work. You have to figure out a formula. So there were always Shas Hadchaks. He used to say, Eidechot is Neman by Meis Bailo. He thought that it's a Din D'Oraisa. Machlokes. So we showed him whether it's a Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan. He said, the Gemara says, Mishun Niguna Akila Barabbanan. What do you mean? Shas Hadchak is the Mekel. No, Shas Hadchak, that's what motivated the rabbis to sit down and appoint a committee and to work by Yom HaBalayla to come up with some formula. And then he came up with a formula. You have to come up with a formula. You can't just say Shas Hadchak Yimekel. Shas Hadchak Yimekel doesn't work like that. He said, just like in science, you have what motivates the scientists to work on something, but then what do they work on? They discover what the formula is. How does nature function? What are the principles of physics and chemistry and so on? So in halacha also, he used to say, just like in physics, it's a self-contained discipline, has its own self-contained logic. In chemistry, in biology, every discipline has its own self-contained logic. So halacha also has its own self-contained logic. A lot of times people ask, how can halacha be like that? It's not logical. It's not logical if you ask for common sense. You can ask common sense kashas on physics and chemistry also. A lot of physics is not logical either. But each discipline has its own self-contained system of logic. So halacha also has its self-contained system of logic. Sometimes common sense plays a role, and sometimes does not play a role. Svara is also one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes. There's room for svara, but not always. You can't ask the halacha is a paradum is metahiris atmeim and metamiris atar. That's the halacha. It's not logical. That's the halacha. A lot of halachas are not logical. When you're developing the details of the halacha, so then sometimes svara plays a role, sometimes not. There was a lot to discuss in his derech halacha.